You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Pot Shots. And if you know what a pot shot is, or if you've ever taken one or had one taken at you, you know what they are. But let me read you a definition just in case you don't know. A pot shot is a shot taken at an easy or casual target. It also can be criticism aimed at an easy target and made without careful consideration. You just pop off and say something. Now, it is possible for someone to say something to you that you take as a pot shot, or you can take a pot shot at somebody when they're down. You think, well, I wish I could punch them in the nose. Sometimes they wish they had been punched in the nose, because sometimes what you say to someone is worse than what you could do to someone physically. Kids can be the worst about this. You think, well, we're all grown up now, that doesn't happen anymore. It happens all the time. Husbands take pot shots at wives. Wives take pot shots at husbands. The worst thing in the world is the past. Now, one of the oddest things for me is to think about taking a pot shot at God. And that's what we're going to talk about today and how that is possible. And I want to start in Isaiah chapter 29. And let's look at verse 15 and following. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? Now let me read that again and ask yourself this question. Is this you? Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down, he says. It's like you've got it all backwards. It's completely upside down. You turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. You've got it backwards. You think you're the potter and that God somehow is the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, he did not make me? Can the pot say of the potter, he knows nothing? And sometimes we go to God and say, what are you doing? You can't do that to me. Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? If you get so consumed, you say, well, I'm self-conscious about this or that, and I'd like to get something corrected, that's great. But if a lot of times you talk to these men and women, and they get all this stuff done, and you know what? That still doesn't make them happy. Because if you're not happy in here, you're never going to get something fixed enough out here to change the inside. And it's amazing if the insides get changed and get corrected, you're not as concerned about the outside. Because you say, you know what, God, I finally understand you love me. And if you love me, I can love me. And if I can love me, I bet somebody else will too. And it won't be about how I look. Men and women. You know, I'm always fascinated by all these critical men looking at these women going, well, she's this and that. I'm like, have you looked in the mirror lately? But men have an easy way of not looking at themselves and being critical of how women look. You know what? You are who you are. And sometimes people go to God and say, you know what? What were you thinking? Why didn't you make me like so-and-so? You know what? Go ask so-and-so how happy they are. They may not be all that either. But we take pot shots at God. Back to this verse 16, you turn things upside down as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to him who formed it? He did not make me. Can the pot say to the potter, he knows nothing? No, he can't. You can't do that. Look at Isaiah chapter 45, beginning in verse 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me. that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Then another woe here in verse 9. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands you commanded me. Now go back up to verse 9. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Is it wrong to ask God why? At some point, we all do that. But you know what, guys? At some point, you got to let it go. Look at the list of things that God says he's done. The light, the sun, peace, calamity. He says, it's me. I can do anything. I can go any direction, do whatever I want to do. And why would you come along and strive with me? And he used the word potsherd. This word is just a pot, like a clay pot. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. You guys strive with each other. Shall the clay say to him who formed it, what are you making? And if you've ever molded clay or know anything about this, it's nothing until it gets in the potter's hand. And that thing can be formed into anything. If it gets hard, it's thrown out. It's worthless after it's been set. And clay, I believe, after it is put in the kiln and heated, it's worthless after that to be formed. But you are not the potter. He is the potter. We are the clay, and God takes us in his hands and does whatever he wants, makes whatever he wants. Turn over to Psalm 139, verse 13. One of the challenges in the physical side of this whole equation and the questioning God is just look at yourself in the mirror. Look at who you are and how God made you. We put so much emphasis in our culture and on this planet, and especially in this country, on how you look. If you don't look good, you're not going to make it. You're not going to be successful. You go into companies. I remember something we did in college. We got all dressed down and filthy, put old clothes on, and walked into some department store. It was a project. This girl and I, she and I went into this store and we walked up to the jewelry counter to see if anybody would wait on us. And I mean nothing. We didn't even exist. We went right outside the store, jumped in a car, changed clothes, cleaned up, went right back to that same counter and they were on us, college kids, you know, in there buying something. Treated us completely different over nothing but how we look. Now look at Psalm 139 verse 13 and following. This is the Psalm of David, and look what he's found out, what he understands. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. What does God think about you? How does he see you? When you were in your mother's womb, he made you. And sometimes we look at people and reject them by nothing else but how they look. We miss people over external things. You think, well, if somebody's not beautiful, somebody doesn't have that, they've got some deformity, they've got some problem. You know what? Jesus was surrounded with everybody. The people that nobody wanted, the people that nobody loved, they got to Jesus and he loved them. And there's indication in the scriptures, we want to make him all Jim Caviezelized or whatever we want to do. Let me tell you something. There's a pretty good chance Jesus wasn't all that hot and good looking as you think he was. He could have just been a plain old guy, and it wasn't about how he looked. It's about who he was and how he loved. And if you ever get below the surface down to who people really are, you know what? Most of the world is made up of just common folk who can't afford plastic surgery, can't afford, you know, teeth being fixed. They're trying to survive, live, make it from one day to the next. And you reveal who you are. I reveal who I am by how I love the least of these sometimes. Isaiah 64, go back over to Isaiah. What does God have the right to do with your life? The way he makes you, where he places you, what he allows you to go through. Is he in control? Do we have the right to scream out and say, what do you think you're doing? And take some pot shot at God, the pot crying out to the potter and complaining about what's going on. Isaiah 64, let's start in verse 6. But we are all like an unclean thing. And I don't want to go too far with this, but to give you the context, and it's most of us adults in here and hopefully listen to this, and I'll try to use a phrase to explain this. But in Isaiah 64, if you've ever read this and didn't understand it, but we are all like an unclean thing in terms of our sinfulness, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. The word here translated filthy rags was the word that you would use for menstrual cloth. All of our righteousness in God's sight is like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we all are your people. But now, O Lord, verse 8 again, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. God makes what he wants to make. We'll see this in another passage in a minute. Look over at Jeremiah chapter 18. Now, sometimes God will show his prophet, in this case, Jeremiah, he'll go and send him to a place to see some activity going on and say to him, this is what's going on in Israel. This is what's going on with the people of God, and draws a comparison between the two. And this is what happens in Jeremiah 18, verse 1 and following. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. In other words, going to the potter's house, that's where he would hear God speak and see what God was talking about. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. The potter gets the clay, he gets the wheel going, he starts shaping it, and something goes wrong. He nicks it somehow, it falls apart. He slaps it back down on the wheel and starts to make something else. Verse 5, after Jeremiah watched all this happen, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, he's actually speaking here to Israel, but the principle is the same. We as his children, God can mold us and make us into whatever he wants. And at some point, guys, the least of the challenges is physicality, is your appearance, is something about you outwardly. At some point, what really matters is on the inside, or what God lets you go through or takes you to in the process. You say, well, I don't like this. I don't like what I'm going through. You got no say in it. However many years ago this has been, some of you know that a man named Claude Townsend greatly affected my life, and I probably would not be standing here. He's in heaven, and I'm still here, but I would not be here. And I remember praying for years, probably months at least, that God would send me somebody to help me and disciple me and help me get it. And I had all this religion and no relationship, and I didn't understand, and I hated reading the Bible because I read the Bible and talked about love, joy, and peace and all these things I didn't have. And I was like, you know what? I'm done with this, God. I'd beg God to kill me just to get me off the planet because I knew I'd go to heaven, but my life sucked. It was hell, and I was done. And I grew up in this culture, this religious culture, where you had evangelists and they did their hair a certain way and they wore certain clothes. And so somewhere in the back of my twisted brain, I assumed that as I prayed for God to send me someone to disciple me, that he would at least send me some kind of slick, nice looking young guy, you know, maybe 10, 20 years older, but who would at least look kind of cool. And I met Claude Townsend one day in Atlanta, Georgia, and I looked at him, and it dawned on me, he's it. And Claude was nothing to look at, but boy, was he somebody to be around. He was bald, had warts on his face, teeth just shot, but I'll take the treasure he hauled any day over all the slick preachers and evangelists I ever met. It wasn't about what he looked like. It's about who he was and who had him and what he was willing to do.
It wasn't a fancy bucket, but you know what? It hauled some water my way and a bunch of people here and way beyond here. So next time you look in the mirror, why don't you see what God sees for a change? Because see, the more you let God love you and the more you understand when you look in that mirror, He loves me just like this. And if we can do better, we'll do better. And with some discipline, with eating or whatever, if I can afford something, I'll do that. But basically, if I never change another thing, God loves me right now, just like this, right like this in the mirror. And then if you get confident in that and you realize that and you say, well, God, if you love me, then maybe I can love me. You know what? When you start to let God love you and you start to love yourself, you'd be amazed at how many other people forget what you look like and start loving you too.
Let me read you verse 5, Jeremiah 18 again. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I have said I would benefit it. He can do whatever he wants to do. And that applies to any nation, anybody on the planet, individuals and nations and people. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 20. Let me quickly read you a story here that demonstrates this. And one of these things about God that this story clearly explains, it bothers people sometimes. Matthew 20 verses 1 and following, Jesus speaking here, telling a story. And he says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard and whatever is right, you will receive. So he hired all these people from dawn till dusk, sent them into his field all day long at different times. So they worked different hours. Verse 8. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those who came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. Now what happens? All these other guys watching, been busting it all day long, are spitting bullets. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden in the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? That's the deal we made. Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. I have decided to give to the guy who worked an hour the same amount I gave to you. What's it to you? It's my money. It's my call. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. At some point, guys, you got to stop looking around. You got to stop comparing yourself. You got to look at God and say, it's you and me. This is my life. This is my deal. This is how you made me on the inside and the out. You're changing me. You're molding me. You're making me. Whatever you're doing, I trust you. I'm not going to look at so-and-so and say, well, you gave them that. What about me? That's not fair. Stop complaining. Stop taking pot shots at God and just go with what you got and do the best with what you've got. You can't change certain things. God has a plan for everybody, all of his children. Look at Romans chapter 9, one more, verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. There's nothing about you willing it or you working harder or running harder that's going to make it happen. It's his call, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, And if you go back, he's talking about the Pharaoh when Moses went in and said, let my people go. That whole mess and all the plagues and the catastrophes and all the animals dying and firstborn dying, that whole deal. He says, for the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. God even had a plan for the Pharaoh's life. And hardened his heart, the scripture says, so that he would not let God's people go. And God used his hard heart to demonstrate his power and ultimately get the people of God out of there. And you say, well, then we're just pawns. And what if I'm just one of God's pawns and I don't have any control and I get hosed around by this God who's up there just playing some game? It's not a game. And you have to start with the basic premise that he is a holy, righteous God, that he is not just yanking chains. He's not taking pot shots at us. There is a plan, there is a purpose, there is meaning, there's rhyme, there's reason behind all this. For this very purpose, I have raised you up that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? Then why is God hard on people? And who could resist? If he's going to harden who he wants to harden, have mercy on who he wants to have mercy, there's nothing we can do about it. Look at verse 20. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Now, let me tell you something. I don't understand all I know about this, but I trust him. I believe that God is on his throne. He knows exactly what he's doing. And somehow from Pharaoh to me and everybody in between and from here on, whatever he does is right. And it appears maybe that it's just a big chess game sometimes and it's confusing to people. You cannot start with man and work your way back to God. You've got to start with God and work your way down or you'll never make it. You have to believe fundamentally that God is a just God, a righteous God. And though he may harden somebody, he may have mercy on somebody else. Oh man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? It is not my place to question God in that regard. And you think, well, that's not fair. Then stop saying, because I said so to your children. Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I thank God that somehow in his mercy and his kindness, he revealed himself to me and gave me the faith to respond to his great love and the great sacrifice which Jesus made when he suffered, when he died on the cross, was buried, and raised from the dead.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Now, so what? You've been taking pot shots at God your whole life. Why this? Why that? Let me encourage you to do something. Say, God, I don't understand. I don't know why, but I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you. I'm going to trust you. I'm done. I'm not complaining anymore. I'm not fighting anymore. If I can lose weight, I'll try to lose some weight. But you know what? If I can't and I don't and I die this way, fine. If my teeth are crooked till the day I die, fine. If there's money that can go to missions instead of that or something, if you give me permission to do whatever, I'll do it. But God, I'm tired of spending my days trying to figure out, you know, here's another one. Why was I born with black skin and that guy's born white? You think that's not a big deal? When it finally dawns on little black boys and girls that they're treated differently in this country and different places in the world, and they start saying the white people get treated one way, I get treated this way. Asians, black, white, Hispanic, you name it, anywhere on the planet, white kids growing up in another culture. Why wasn't I born like them? Why am I different? Why am I an outsider? Why, God, did you make me this way?
instead of looking down at your hands, your feet, looking in the mirror, whatever it takes, say, you know what? I can't change this, and I'm going to go with it. God, use me, the vessel that you made, the way you made it, for your honor, for your glory. Thank you so much for picking me, for choosing me, for coming after me. Don't let me waste any more time complaining about this. You are the potter. I'm the clay. I'll go with that.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.